It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart. You're listening to Sweet Home Cannabama here every Monday night on FM Talk 106.5 at 7 o'clock. We've been doing this for 6.5 years, and we're not about to slow down now. Lots happening, and I guess a lot will continue to happen. We've got some dog fights and multiple dog fights, federal ones, state ones, lot to talk about. I wanted to start the show by saying that it just so happens that today is Representative Andy Witt's birthday. I would like to encourage anyone affected by HB 445 to go to his Facebook page or wherever they announced his birthday. I can't remember what page it was. But go and wish Representative Witt the day he deserves. Roll Tide. Merry Christmas, everybody, now that we've got that unpleasantness out of the way. It's Christmas in a couple of days, and I just want to say that I know you all have heard a whole lot of bad things. Bad things that happened in the state of Alabama, bad things that happened with the federal government this year, my personal story, and all of the things that we have lost as an industry. I am not the only one, not by a long shot. I'm just the one you hear from. And I just want to say, in light of all of that, that I'm very grateful today. I'm very grateful today to be where I am. It wasn't where I would have chosen to be 6 months ago. But we are almost 6 months in, and God is good. He has replaced some of those losses with things I could not have even hoped for, and is continuing to guide me down new paths and put me with people that are going to recognize how passionate I am about this issue and let me on for the ride of fighting this for the people of Alabama and for the people of the United States within the hemp industry and what we do for the citizens. And I'm so grateful. I want to say publicly to my husband, thank you for still marrying me, knowing what was about to happen. We got married 3 days before Cannabama closed. We didn't get to have a big wedding. We didn't get to have a honeymoon. But I have never been happier in my home life, ever in my whole life. And I just wanted to say thank you, and I love you, and you are the greatest gift I could have asked for. I have healthy, beautiful children, and so many opportunities to do something even bigger and better with my life, and hopefully still be able to serve the people of Alabama in some capacity. So I just want to say that if you have had a rough year, it's not over yet. Life goes on, and God is good. And sometimes we have to be kind of taken down and put in a corner. And I never would have walked away from Cannabama. I never would have willingly walked away from Cannabama. However, not having the choice, I'm starting to sort of see where maybe there are bigger things to do so that I can come back to that someday. And if you are in that same position, or if you are in another state listening, I have a lot of friends in a lot of states that are looking at things from a federal perspective and going, okay, what are we going to do? Well, hopefully we'll be part of that solution. And I just want to say, if you're alone this Christmas, if you're grieving, sometimes when we have lost someone, the holidays are especially hard. I would say that, give it to God. I have a hard time leading up to this point, but usually the last few days, it changes somehow. And the preparation for Christmas is always fun and exciting. I got to have my first Stewart family Christmas yesterday with Shane's entire family. I've never had family in Alabama before to celebrate with. And it was so much fun. And I love having a big family here in Alabama. And so find someone who needs someone, and invite them to your house, you know, invite them into your home and show them the love of God and the love of family and the spirit of Christmas. So let's get into this real quick before I introduce our guest tonight. I want to, I'm sure if you didn't hear that President Trump signed an executive order on Thursday to start the process of rescheduling cannabis, I don't know where you've been, under a rock with no Wi-Fi apparently, because holy crap, it's been all anyone's talked about. And he did several things in that executive order. The one everyone's focusing on is rescheduling. We talked about it at length on the show last week and several times before that. So I just want to reiterate what rescheduling means for existing cannabis businesses in legal states. It basically removes tax penalties for cannabis businesses. Some of these businesses pay 60, 70% in taxes because they're not allowed to deduct normal expenses such as payroll and normal expenses like rent and utilities and all the things that a normal small business would be able to deduct from their taxes. And it paves the way for more extensive research for universities and any other companies that want to do research with cannabis. A Schedule I drug is not prescribable in any way, and it's very, very, very difficult to get permission to do any research with it. So that's what it does. It does not change the legal status. This is not legalization. This is not a step toward legalization. It is just reclassifying it as a Schedule III drug. It is not decriminalization. You will still go to jail. You will still serve a lot of time, and it is still federally illegal. So nothing for the consumer has changed in states like Alabama, where we don't currently have an active medical cannabis program yet, nor do we have adult use program. You know, we're still in the same boat we were, except now hemp is a Class C felony. So that's extra fun on top of a misdemeanor for possession. But nothing has changed for the consumer, for the patients. You know, it's, you know, we don't really know how all of this is going to shake out. Those are the things we do know. A lot of people are upset about it, and a lot of people are excited about it. I think there's probably a lack of information on both sides, and everybody feels very strongly about it. So, yeah, that's what happened. We don't know how long this process is going to take. He cannot just say reschedule it and it's rescheduled. But he is basically ordering the federal government to go actively seek out rescheduling. And I think the ultimate decision lies with the DEA in the end. But there's a lot of moving parts here. Nothing has changed yet. Today, it's still Schedule I. And for the time being, until it actually goes into effect, it's going to remain Schedule I. So nothing has changed yet. I want to go ahead and bring on our guest tonight to get this party started because, like I said, the executive order did more than just reschedule cannabis to Schedule III. So I would like to bring on, real quick, before we go to our first break, my guest, Martin Smith. He has been a guest a couple of times on Sweet Home Cannabama. Is a good friend of mine. I have a lot of respect for him. And Martin is the president of the Kentucky Hemp Farmers Association, among many, many other hats he wears. And he has been in this, you know, I know that there's people that have been in this longer than him, but I don't know very many of them personally. So the early 2000s, I believe, is the earliest date I have heard him talk about. So without further ado, welcome Martin Smith to the show.
What's up? Merry Christmas, Sweet Home Cannabama!
I know, it is an exciting week.
I love the title of this. I know we got a break coming up real fast. I love the title of this. What the hemp? I say it like this. I've been saying it like this. What the full spectrum CBD hemp?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I cannot believe he said that $500 of a recipient or Medicare,
right,
would have access to full spectrum CBD. He didn't. There's a lot of things unpacking that, but Merry
right.
Christmas.
Yes.
Merry Christmas. That's 70 million. That is 70 million customers.
Yeah.
With a guaranteed pay of $500. Everybody hit the calculator fast because Merry Christmas, Sweet Home Canabama. Jennifer, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know how excited I've been. We've been talking on the phone before this interview, and
yes.
I'm excited for the farmer. I'm excited for the patient. I'm excited for the research. I'm excited for the, you know, the infusion of a steady, sturdy market.
Yes.
And I'm excited to be here with your viewers, all of you who worked hard, like Jennifer, her story. I'm telling you, every time I hear it, it just makes me wish I could have ran a lot faster and a lot harder. But we ran as hard as we could and as fast as we could. The advocates out there, I'm thinking, my head is spinning around.
We got to go to break, Martin. I'm so sorry. We got to go to break. Phil's going to cut us off. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama Radio out of Mobile, Alabama. We are talking tonight with Martin Smith from Kentucky. He's the president of the Kentucky Hemp Farmers Association, among other things. Martin, let's rewind. Let's talk about Thursday. You know, we knew that there was going to be a big announcement. And we kind of had an idea of what was going to happen. But then when it actually happened, I was just expecting him to talk about rescheduling and sign that executive order. I know that they were going to mention CBD and Medicare. I did not expect him to come out of the gate with what he did. Explain to us exactly what he said and what he did.
What he didn't do was create a bureaucracy between us and the ability to reach him. I mean, he literally put a price on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, that's not saying, well, we're going to offer it to them, and if there's a way to make it happen, well, then we're going to turn it over to the legislature and make that. It's what he didn't say.
Right.
He said, we're going to give you $500 to spend on CBD starting in April. Let's go.
Right, right.
You know, he wiped out all the bureaucracy we've been facing all this time.
Yes.
And did it in a this is what we're doing. It's $500. It's going to start in April. It's going to, you know, be for full spectrum CBD. Go.
I mean,
he didn't put no strings on it, nothing. And I mean, he didn't even name a indication, you know, like,
right.
Or,
you're right.
You know,
he didn't say you have to have this problem or that problem, or you have to get this certification or this card or this permission. He just said, if you are on Medicare, we are going to make you eligible for $500 a year to spend on full spectrum CBD products, period.
He has obviously done his homework. He has obviously done his homework, him and RFK.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's in his ear with the obvious.
Right.
You know, this is a market-ready product. It's
right.
been through all this endeavors, and it's been, you know, a place where it's protected through, you know, being an essential oil, full spectrum extract.
Right.
Being, you know, that it sits in a different category than the isolates or.
Well, I was going to say it's so very different than the only FDA approved version of CBD is Epidiolex. And that is made with an isolated CBD and other ingredients.
And the thing about it is you know, we had that race early back in, you know, I'd say 16, 17. They were trying to get it language in our legislation across the country. GW Pharmaceutical was trying to get their legislation across the language that said we would need a prescription in order for us to go to the market with full spectrum CBD. So, and so in that we basically won the argument because we were on the market first.
Right.
And meaning that in the Sears and Roebuck catalog, you could buy full spectrum CBD. And we're a first to market principle country. If you get to market first, it's your market.
That's
if
right.
If they had gotten there with their, if they had gotten to the market with their, you know, cannabinoid, you know, manipulations, and then they would have had the market first, and we wouldn't have been able to compete with them.
Right.
And in this case, we won.
Nice.
And so that when he said, I mean, somebody is talking to President Trump in a way that is got to be common sense.
Right.
Got to be something with, I think about, you know, I grew up in Prohibition country, you know, where all the stories are told and you got those guys that just make sense of things, you know.
Right.
And so I just grew up with that. Somebody's in President Trump's ears making sense to him.
Well,
that's
language
right there.
Most of us saw several weeks back, maybe a month or two back, that he put out a video, an educational video, about the benefits of CBD for seniors. And I was like, wait, what? What is happening?
Double take. What?
And then here comes Mitch McConnell and the CR. And so then it was like, wait, the president was just talking about what a fantastic solution this is for seniors. And I'm not sure why the concentration on seniors, except we know that seniors are over-medicated and they're sick and tired of it. And more seniors are using, cannabinoid products now more than ever. And they actually expect the 65 and over crowd to out-consume millennials soon because of that.
That's 100%. Who's hurting? Who needs it? You know, the endocannabinoid system creating homeostasis and allowing for all of that mobility and inflammation to go down. That's your target audience in the first place. If you're going to say we're going to get this out there and to a population of people who can tell us the most about what it's doing,
right.
You couldn't ask for a better. They're going to fund it.
Right.
Think about this hemp industry. They're going to fund it through the Medicare program, and we're going to get all the benefits of all those seniors telling their spouses, their uncles, or probably not their uncles.
Children and grandchildren.
Everybody in their family is going to say, Grandma, how you liking that CBD?
Well, but Martin, when you think about it, my mom is 66. So I think that my mom's generation is the first generation to have been through this onslaught of big pharma pills since they were in their 20s. You think about it. 30 years ago, when I graduated from high school, there was no such thing as an opioid crisis. You know,
No. You
might have known one odd kid in your class that was on Ritalin, but 75% of your grade wasn't on methamphetamines from CVS, you know. But my mom and people older than her are the generation that kind of got filtered through this big pharma push, and in their aging in the last 20 years, you know, they've been given pill after pill after pill after pill after pill. And, you know, from things that I have learned about different pharmaceuticals like gabapentin and how it causes the brain to atrophy. And I'm thinking of all the people that I know who are sitting in nursing homes and don't know who they are and don't know what's going on. And they're far too young to have early onset dementia. You know, something is causing this. Something is causing us to have a lower life expectancy for the first time in human history. We're going backwards in life expectancy and quality of life. I mean, how many people do you know that keep a Ziploc bag of pills in their bag, you know, and they can't leave home without them? But then how many people have you ever met that said, I'm on 8 prescriptions and I feel amazing?
No, Jennifer, though, you see this smile? We're coming for you. We've got something better, greater, going to help you in all of that.
Right.
Thank you, President Trump, for clearing the way. Look, insurance companies have been the gap. One of them has been, you know, that's been,
yes.
Hey, we can't do anything to support this. We got one of the largest insurance, you know, with Medicare, being
right.
And then think about the trickle down effect of that. We'll call it trickle down economics in this scenario.
Yeah.
Where how much entourage effect are we going to have from that?
Right.
I mean,
right.
If you ain't got a smile on your face for your grandmother who's going to one day say, hey, that CBD, I wouldn't leave home without it.
Hey, my 88-year-old grandmother would tell you that right now. That's because I educated her. At first, I had to I had to block my own grandmother from my social media pages because she was like, "This is drugs," you know. And I was like, I told my mom, I was like, "You need to get Granny because I have to block her now." But when I finally talked her, because she was on all sorts of medication, when I finally talked her into trying it, it was transformational for her. And my mom, too. My mom, you know, she was a teacher for 30 years and taught the DARE program. So, of course, her first thought was me in a ditch with a needle in my arm. And now she takes CBD faithfully every day. She doesn't leave the house without her pain roller. And she's constantly sending me all her older people friends that have those same issues. And it is transformative for people, especially with seniors being low income, though. The Medicare thing, a lot of seniors are on a fixed income, on Social Security, or they're trying to keep a tight budget because they have to their money has to last their retirement. Yeah, you know, and people my age won't, you know, who knows if any of that will even exist in 20 more years. But, you know, making it more affordable and accessible for those seniors, to me, not only did he give it the thumbs up for usage with seniors, and that to me is a personal stamp of approval to the highest level, and with all of, you know, RFK and Dr. Oz and all the other people that stood behind him, the Grunstile Foundation, standing there for the veterans and other people, you know, but to also give an allowance for it. Yeah. I think that, because that is a lot of money. That is a lot of money that they are going to funnel into the hemp system.
That's a lot of farm payments, and that's a lot of implements, and that's a lot of dirt.
That's a lot of tractors. Yes, it is, because hemp farming went way up and then way down because we, you know, and look at all the states. I mean, you know, Kentucky has stricter potency caps than Alabama does. And
it wouldn't be, listen to this, though. That's all behind us.
Yes.
That's all behind us right now. We've got President Trump guaranteeing us a market. And I'm a farmer, and I can tell you right now, I'm ready to produce for this market. And that's better than having all the other things that we've had happen to us in the past.
Right.
If President Trump was president when we passed all this, we'd probably already pass all this.
Right. Well, and, you know, just a week ago, not even a week ago, a lot of farmers were having to try to figure out, should we even plant this year? If we don't, you know, and the Hemp Industry and Farmers Association and a couple other groups are asking Congress for a 24-month extension on this moratorium so that we can properly write legislation, but they need to know, should I farm this year? When we come back from the break, we're going to pick right back up with this with Martin Smith. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sweet Home Cannabama. We're here every Monday night at 7 o'clock. That's Central Time because Martin is in Eastern and we constantly get our time zones mixed up. Okay, so we were...
Agree on one thing, it's one time everywhere. Come on.
I know. Come on. Get with it. Right. We could adjust. So we were talking before about how after the continuing resolution and Mitch McConnell's addition to that, a lot of the farmers in the hemp industry across the country are now having to decide whether or not they can afford to try to plant this year if the feds are going to shut that down in November. They're asking for 24-month extension. What are we going to do? Let's talk about a solution to that.
Man, I tell you right now, the phone calls I got when that happened, I talked to you and you were the same way. Everybody was, what in the world are we going to do, you know? And you're talking about an uproar. And, you know, I was asked, I got a call from one of the, you know, the major national networks. and they asked me what I thought about that scenario, because they had Rand Paul, who's a senator, Rand Paul, who's a senator here in Kentucky, and Senator McConnell, kind of trying to put two perspectives that seemed to be competing. But I told the reporter, I said, two things can be true at the same time.
Right.
You know, we've had people come in, you know, they said, Rand Paul was saying that they set up the industry to work for farmers and to create a real industry and not let regulation and law get in the way of what they had deemed, you know, industrial hemp.
Right.
And, you know, and then Senator McConnell is saying, yeah, but they got these products that we didn't know anything about industrially wise, you know, when you're talking about all these Delta 8s and Delta 10s and, you know, these conversions
right.
that were made. And so I said, you know, they're both right. We need regulation, but we need regulation not to get in our way. And we need,
right.
you know, markets. And, man, Trump just put that right to rest right now. Here's you a good market, and, you know, and you'll have the ability to produce this. But on the way then. So, you know, I told you before, I grew up in Prohibition, you know, the Ozarks, you know, so I got
right.
to hear all the good old boy stories, you know, that Dukes of Hazzard was written off of, you know.
Right.
And so I knew how wet counties and dry counties and all that worked out, you know, and waiting for you at the county line type of things. And
oh, yeah, I grew up partly about 45 minutes south of the Arkansas state line. So it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, so I grew up in that world. So, you know, I was one time, I tell you, in the very beginning of trying, I was working on bringing a crop here called Kanaf, and I was asked to come in and, you know, participate at a meeting at the Capitol. And I went in, and they wish what they didn't call on me. And I was like, wonder why. I'm fiber, you know, I'm talking about fiber, and I'm talking about all the things hemp is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder why. And an old boy named Craig Lee pulled me off in a corner and said, they're talking about cannabinoids. And he was trying to say it. He's a good old boy, you know. And
right.
So he said, they're talking about cannabinoids. And I don't know what that is. And they're not wanting to talk to either one of us about industrial hemp.
Right.
And at that point, that's where my mind came into there needs to be two different distinctions.
Yes.
Between the industrial side and the cannabinoid side.
Right.
And because their THC is a cannabinoid, if you just boil it all down to what are we talking about here, the bottom line, we're talking about cannabinoids.
Right.
And so, yeah, so that stemmed me to put the term medical hemp together.
Yes.
And so I started working on what it would take to do that, because at that time I was working with the opioid crisis, and I was trying to help get to veterans who were dealing with withdrawals and PTSD syndromes at the same time and build a way to do that. But, and I got all the yeses every which way we went. Oh my gosh, we need this. Yes, 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 yes.
Right.
Until we got to the insurance company.
Yep.
President Trump just fixed that.
Right.
For me. He just, my heart, I'm telling you, if you could feel the relief I got when I heard him make the distinction between industrial hemp and medical hemp.
Right.
And, when he said that, just when he separated the CBD out, and by name, full spectrum.
Full
CBD.
Spectrum. And that those are the magic words right there. Whole plant.
All the cannabinoids.
Entourage effect, whole plant, all the cannabinoids, yes.
And all the withdrawal syndromes that we, back in those days, the reason why we had none of us knew it. When full spectrum CBD hit the ground, and when we found out, oh my gosh, these withdrawal effects are so affected by this, just one thing, and that PTSD had this ability, people coming into everybody's shop, you know, saying,
yep.
Hey, this is why I'm using this product, and it's helping me, you know. And we got to all the legislatures in Ohio during the opioid crisis, where the pill mill highway was and all that, and Columbus, and they were just so excited to get this product, and we got stopped at the insurance.
Wow.
Because of liability. You know, it was there, just couldn't do it. It was, I mean, they looked at us like, man, this is great information. Oh my gosh, this would be great, but we can't. And now
yeah.
President just proved that we can.
Right. Well, and if Medicare is going to do it, then everybody else needs to kind of get on the boat or get left.
I can't be so happy for those patients, those people who are suffering with opioid withdrawals. I cannot. I'm so happy for him. Whatever it takes, President Trump, if you're listening to this or ever get whatever it takes to get to them, let's do it.
Absolutely. I've been there and done that myself. I'm 11 years clean in October from opioids, and my drug dealer wore a white coat, and it was bad. It was very bad. And one of the most rewarding parts of what I have been able to participate in because of this plant is helping other people not have to white knuckle it and not have to go through that cellular level pain and suffering that keeps so many people using. You know, when you're in that position, you believe with all your heart and everything around you tells you, including the methadone clinic or anything else, you know, the Suboxone doctor, they all tell you you're going to want this thing for the rest of your life and you can't have it and you're going to suffer and you need this other thing. And that is categorically untrue. I'm here to testify.
Man, I tell you, back in those days, I mean, the pill mill scenario, you'd go get a tooth pulled, next thing you know, you're
Oxycontin.
You know, I had a good friend. She had a shoulder ache, got a pain pill off of somebody who she thought was a real pill, mm-hmm. but it had fentanyl in it. It killed her.
Oh my God. I've watched a documentary about how it was actually people in Kentucky. These drug dealers would basically pay, they would take school bus loads of people down to South Florida, where I think it's Broward County maybe, and they have pain clinic after pain clinic on this one stretch of road. And all of these people, they would pay for their doctor visit and their prescription fills, and then they would give them a portion of what pills they were given. The rest went into milk jugs and back to Kentucky.
Boy, I'm telling you, see, hopefully we come a long way. But so CBD is on the way for those who are dealing with that withdrawal, families who are just in, don't have a, you know, something. That's what I was hearing when I heard that. I didn't hear him put anything in the way.
No, he didn't say it. You have to be this or you have to be that. Even children. I mean, there are plenty of children that are on Medicare, I'm sure, and people on disability that aren't seniors. You know, there's a lot of people that will benefit from this and be able to at least, if not completely pay for their supply for the year, at least pay for a really good chunk of it and make it so that they can afford whatever else extra cost there is, you know. And hopefully this will encourage the farmers to go ahead and grow robust crops, and the trickle-down effect will hopefully be that the ultimate price of these products will go down enough to make that $500 allowance really make a huge difference for these people.
How about this, Jennifer, what you said a second ago when you said they told you you'd be on it for the rest of your life?
Right.
What if we jerked the rug out from underneath that comment?
Right. No, absolutely.
You know, before we had this full spectrum CBD, you would have had to have been on that drug for the rest of your life. We had no other way to tell you.
Right. Or just, you know, I mean, I was three years clean. Yeah, I was 3 years clean when I found CBD, and it still changed my life. But I went through that by the grace of God and the strength of my knuckles period that it sucked. You know,
yeah.
It sucked because I was in pain still. I had chronic pain issues, which was why I was on it in the first place, and all these other ailments, and I was 39 years old and in abject misery. And yeah. But I was clean, but I was miserable, and CBD changed that for me.
I can tell President Trump right now, Mr. President, I promise you this decision that you've made is going to reach and affect a whole lot of people in ways that none of us have imagined.
Right.
And I would tell you, sir, thank you so much. Clear the way. Let us get there. Let us show you. I'm telling you, law enforcement, after shoveling, you know, getting you know, you don't understand what these folks have to deal with
right.
whenever they're dealing with withdrawal syndrome. Folks, maybe you do. Maybe you know somebody and you understand and you couldn't imagine having to keep, you know, keep up with that.
Right. And no, I can't imagine in a prison setting or in a hospital setting or a psych ward setting where there's multiple people all around you coming off of these crazy strong narcotics. And, I mean, it affects everything, your ability to sit still, your ability to think clearly and communicate, your patience level, anger level, your ability to sleep, eat, hold anything in your body because it's coming out one way or another. There's a whole lot of horrible, horrible effects of being in drug withdrawal. And that's not exclusive to opiates. You know, all the other things that we have on the market that our bodies become dependent on, there's a pharmaceutical version of everything on the street. So it's not specific to street drugs either. You know, there are tons and tons of medications that cause physical withdrawal symptoms, even if they don't impair you. You know, try getting off of a Zoloft, just cold turkey. From what I understand, it is miserable. So there are a lot of medications out there that people are just simply taking to maintain their level of normalcy. And the sad part to me is that they don't even remember what actual normal is. You know, they haven't felt normal in so long. I've had so many people tell me that they felt high from CBD. I'm like, no, you don't, honey. You feel good and you don't remember what that's like. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Martin Smith. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. This is our last segment, and I want to make it count. We're talking tonight with Martin Smith about medical hemp and what President Trump just did by saying that Medicare would be covering CBD usage up to $500 a year for anybody on Medicare without any stipulations, any conditions, any exclusions that we know of. You know, this flies in the face, Martin, of what happened in November with the continuing resolution. You know, everybody's scrambling and lobbying and trying to get them to give us more time so we can figure out, you know, what we're going to do. There's other organizations that have been at the White House and at Congress trying to convince them of this or that. You know, what does this mean? Now that President Trump has said, here, this is going to happen, they can't enact what just was passed in November and meet the need that President Trump just made allowances for. There is no full-spectrum hemp products if what happened in November goes into effect, right?
Well, so that's in true Trump fashion. I mean, for me, I mean, he's the executive over all of these decisions,
right?
You know, regular decision making. So for me, I'm taking the man at his word.
Right.
I mean,
well, yeah, you can't put that genie back in the bottle. He said it. He said it on purpose, and he said it on a live stream for the whole world to watch. It wasn't something we got a snapshot and a news story about. This was live streamed in real time with 20-something people standing behind him on the WhiteHouse.gov website.
You see what I'm saying? So, and that's why I started this segment by saying, you know, the beginning of this thing is by somebody's in his ear that's smart.
Yes.
Somebody's in his ear that's informed, and I sure hope it's a old redneck like me.
Right.
Who, you know what I mean? Who
yeah.
Says, you know what? Let's just do it right. How about that?
Right.
Let's just go on and do it right.
Well, cut the bull and get to the meat of the situation. You know, you've got people that have a need. And their need is not being met, just like veterans, just like so many people. There's a whole group of people that have a need that's not being met on so many levels. And we have an industry that, by the way, Trump's the one who signed the 2018 Farm Bill that started all of this. You know, I know that there were people in industrial hemp before that, but 2018, you know, is when this all really took off. That's when I got into it. You know, I got into it in the summer, knowing he was going to sign it as soon as it came up in December. So I kept thinking, this is the funny thing, I kept thinking, surely at some point after the last year, year and a half, surely at some point Trump is going to go, okay, I started this. I did it on purpose. I meant for this to become an industry, and let's not destroy it. And then it didn't seem like it was going to happen, especially in November. And now this. So it's like total 180 straight from the highest office in the land.
He just did what he does, and he created the new medical hemp. There's nothing, I mean, he separated industrial hemp
right
from medical hemp by giving us a whole market dedicated to ourselves.
Right.
I mean, full spectrum CBD, that's our market.
Right.
That's our market. And we've proven that we can keep it below 0.3.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to make the same mistakes and be, hey, try these seeds right here, because, you know, we're not going to make those mistakes. We know what, here in Kentucky, we know what cultivars we can produce right now
right.
at those levels. And we know what we need to be able to meet that demand. That's the other thing. So,
right.
you know, we know exactly what how much yield. So when you're talking farm language, we're talking yield. We need to get into President Trump's ear and say, we need, as farmers, a yield that meets the demand you just made, because
right.
you made a great market for us. Thank you, sir. You understand markets. You understand the limitations of markets, you know, what gets in the way, obviously.
Right.
You deal with that, you know, in business, and we appreciate that. Now, here's the model moving forward for what we need in our yield to meet our demand. And you know, I think he's open for it. I'm telling you right now, I'm working my tail off to figure it out. That's for sure.
I think we all places. Are. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I haven't heard a ton, you know, like I said in the beginning, all anyone's talking about is the rescheduling thing. And that's very important, and it's historical, and nothing has moved that needle for like 50, 60 years. But I think we lost the good part of however you feel about rescheduling, this other part isn't smaller or lesser, and it actually is going to make it accessible not only to the farmers and the processors who were facing down losing everything, but it's going to make it something that, it, you know, if Medicare covers it and the president's recommending you use it, I mean, what more endorsement could there be? A lot of people will not do it unless their doctor says to do it. And thankfully, lots and lots of doctors have come on board with what we have been doing. I know I had dealt with a lot of doctor's offices. The cancer center would send people to us because they see the value. And it's time mm-hmm. for it to come out of the shadows, I believe, and become something that everybody knows about. The education, we've been pumping out education left and right every single day. You know, I know you know what we do here. I know what you do there. And there's so many people like us in every state. You know, this has been a long time coming. But the validation after being completely devalued and cast aside a month ago.
Yeah, so, you know, all of that has changed.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, all of that has changed in this move. And Jennifer, listen, I want to say something to your public, since I got you a captive audience now on the radio. We got to support your station as an industry, because look, this right here, share this video with everybody you know and get them to understand, help them to understand that Jennifer here has been, I'm telling you, somebody who's been on the radio talking about this over the years, dedicated every week to do a show about what's going on right now. That's what we need, because all we got to do is, just like the Bible, get out the good news. The good news. I'm serious.
No, I say that all the time. It's so similar to sharing the gospel. I know this thing, and I know you think you know this thing, but when I share this good news with you, it's going to change everything, and you'll never be the same. It's how is that any different? You know,
there's
and that is how I feel about this. That is that life-changing.
Absolutely. And look, if you got a brand out there, you want it connected to Cannabama Radio. You want it connected to Sweet Home Cannabama. You want it connected to Jennifer. Go back and look. Her journey is real. She talked about it straight up, just the way it is, day after day, week after week. And that's how we're going to, you know, we're going to have, just imagine how many seniors we're going to have on here saying, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you my story. Or let me tell you about my nephew. He was going, you know, we couldn't ever get him off of it. And
yes.
We got him on this, you know. Just think about, I remember those days. It was just like it coming out of the woodwork.
I've seen older people bring in their adult children who are suffering or are addicts or alcoholics to get me to help them. My oldest customer was 98. So I've always enjoyed being in the service of our senior community. And it's funny because a few times I've had to walk out into the parking lot and show them that I'm not Shaggy, you know, from Scooby-Doo, you know, and they're not about to walk into something weird. And and those were some of my best customers. You know, people weren't, they didn't know what to expect. And now we've made it normal. And I will never regret the time, the money, and the tears that I have put into this show, because all of that has led to people going, okay, I've heard it for years now. I'm going to try it, you know, and that makes it worth it.
That's what I love about you, Jennifer. You meet that customer on the sidewalk who is wondering whether or not this could help them.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to meet them? You're going to wait for them to walk through the door. You're going to lose 1, 2, 3, 30%, however. And I'm not talking about customers. I'm talking about life-changing experiences.
Right. Yep. No, we meet the people where they are. Martin, I want to say thank you. We're out of time. We will definitely be back to break this down. What is medical hemp and what direction we're going to go, what it means for the farmers, processors, and for the consumers, and how to make this happen in every state, because, you know, Alabama doesn't want to, I'm sure that Alabama has something to say about what Mr. Trump did.
they're like $37 billion.
Right. I mean, how could they be mad about that? Thank you so much, Martin, for being on the show. And I just want to say Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to my listeners and those of you that have been with me through all the ups and downs. I could not be more grateful. I hope that everybody has a blessed time with their family. And come next week, we're going to talk to a hemp farmer who is growing for food and what that means. So stay with us next week on Sweet Home Cannabama right here on FM Talk 106.5. God bless you, and God bless American medical hemp.